Now, Elaine is going to address the difficult question of legitimacy. When is it right and wrong? Elaine.
Yes, a very difficult question. And it's also, I mean, some of you might be surprised, why are we talking about the legitimacy of global governance? Is that not something which is secondary to global governance? And I think there are two answers to that. One is a moral answer, because it's the right thing to think about the legitimacy of global governance, arrangements, rules, institutions, mechanisms. But there's also a much more pragmatic answer. And this is just that, kind of following on from what James has been saying, the absence of legitimacy of global governance hampers the effectiveness of global governance arrangements. So if global governance arrangements are deemed sufficiently legitimate, then it's much more likely that people, organizations, corporations, and so on will abide by the rules of global governance and accept the kind of authorities of those people and institutions that constitute global governance. So there's this kind of like much more pragmatic approach, if you so want to. Now, is there a legitimacy problem in global governance? Who says no? Everybody says yes? Say yes? Okay. I was thinking it might make sense to kind of like disaggregate that a little bit. So we have different levels or different kind of stages of rulemaking in global governance. So I think the first stage is, or the first question I would like to ask here is, who makes the rules of global governance? Who makes the rules of global governance?
If we're going by the example of the credit rating agencies, anyone who wants to stand up and tell people what to do.
Okay, so some private organizations, specific economic interests, also very often political leaders, democratically elected leaders, or authoritarian leaders. And now comes the really, really bad joke, and this is, who is the guy on the left? Yes, Hu Jintao. So that was the bad joke. So, I mean, if you just look at this, and this is a photograph of one of the APEC summits, the 2007 APEC summit in Vietnam, then we have a range of political leaders, all prime ministers, presidents, and so on, some from countries with popular democratic elections, and some from more authoritarian countries. So the guy at the back at the right, for example, is from Thailand during the military regime. So we have political leaders, both democratically elected and non-elected leaders, and we also have bureaucracy. So Jan Aart mentioned some in his presentation. And of course, there kind of really is very clear that we have a massive democratic deficit in global governance. And I think this has been very, very nicely phrased by a political economist, I think a bit over a decade ago, and he wrote a book which is called Who Elected the Bankers? Who elected the bankers? Who elected the credit rating agencies? So there is an issue, basically, or there are kind of serious questions about the legitimacy of how global governance regimes are constructed, but also the kind of type of rules for global governance that are made. The second, then, is not just who constructs those regimes, who makes those rules, but also who enacts those rules. So if you look at international organizations, and they're by no means the only actors in global governance, then we still see a kind of certain institutional deformity. Very often we have Western interests dominating in those organizations, economic interests dominating in those organizations. One of the reasons why I put this picture up is that it's kind of, it's the APEC summit, so we have some Asian leaders, but it's kind of mainly Western leaders, and they dress up in Asian costumes. So I think it shows a bit the kind of paradoxes of contemporary global governance. And of course, this also affects the legitimacy of global governance. And of course, some people would argue that current mechanisms of global governance reflect the interests of the United States, of Wall Street, of capital. So there's a question about the inclusiveness of global governance and also the power relations that underpin global governance arrangements. Then the next question is, who has to abide by the rules of global governance? So if people making the rules and implementing the rules, but also kind of how are those rules enforced. And you mentioned the credit rating agencies. So the credit rating agencies make judgments about whether one should invest into a country or not. And as we have seen recently, those judgments are not always that accurate. So they recommended some products which were basically junk, but they're not responsible, or they're not held responsible, accountability for those recommendations. Because in the United States, they say freedom of speech, we just give an opinion, you can't hold us accountable for those opinions. Other things like political leaders, sometimes they can be held accountable by their national electorates, but if kind of global issues are concerned, this is much, much more difficult. So decisions to invade another country, for example, how are leaders held accountable for those decisions? And the last question, or the last dimension, if you so want, is also who is affected by the rules. So the outcome of the rules, and is the outcome legitimate? And I think the people sitting and feeding the world at that table, I mean, we still have kind of undernutrition contributes to the death of about 5 million children every year. So is this a legitimate outcome of global governance rules on food and so on? So I think kind of what you've seen, it's quite easy to establish that global governance has severe legitimacy issues. But now, of course, the question is also, how can we make it more legitimate? And I think for that, we have to unpack the notion of legitimacy a little bit further. And I always tend to talk too long, but I think I have 2 or 3 minutes left. Okay. So I think the kind of first dimension of legitimacy we can think about is the kind of type and content of global governance regimes. So we have different forms of legitimacy. We can have democratic legitimacy. People voted someone into power who decided on an issue, or people voted on the issue themselves. But we also have technocratic legitimacy. So financial regulation, some people say finance is so complex, you can't understand finance, so leave finance to the experts. Of course, what we realized in recent years is that the experts also don't understand finance, which I personally think really, really shows that everybody can be involved and think about finance. And I think that's hopefully something you'll be doing here tonight. The second, then, is the kind of dimension is the inclusiveness of global governance regimes. And here I think we can kind of think about, on the one hand, representative legitimacy. So who's involved? Are there enough people? Are there kind of also kind of gender representation and so on? So, I mean, this is very typical summit photograph in so far that the women are always in the minority. So can global governance mechanisms in which half of the world population is not proportionally represented, basically, can they make adequate rules, adequate decisions? But I think there's also something like participatory legitimacy in many mechanisms. So if you look at the WTO, for example, we have one country, one vote. So theoretically, there's kind of like an equal representation in the WTO. But when it comes to decision making, to trade negotiation and so on, then we have meetings where only some people or some countries are invited and so on. So I think there's also the participatory element of legitimacy. And of course, this raises further questions. I think someone had a here in the audience had a question of civil society involvement and so on. But again, this is like, for example, can Western civil society organizations talk for people in the global south? Is that something that is legitimate? Is it good? Or yeah, so those are kind of further things one has to think about. The next dimension then is the accountability of global governance regimes. And here I think we can think in both procedural and also responsive terms. So procedural is, has kind of due process been followed? Was there consultation? Have the kind of decision-making process been transparent and so on? But I think there's also the kind of what I like to call responsive legitimacy, and this is, are those mechanisms actually relevant? So if you look, I think there's this example of the European regulation on food. So there are specific shapes of carrots that are allowed to be sold, and if they're kind of a bit not conforming to those standards, they're not to be sold. Well, we have 5 billion children dying every year of hunger or on hunger-related causes. And the last one then is the kind of outcome of global governance regimes. And again, I think there are kind of like a trade-off between the performance legitimacy. And this is not this kind of performance legitimacy that you sometimes hear in relation to authoritarian governments. They have to deliver on development. It's more generally, what do those mechanisms deliver on? But I think there's also the moral legitimacy of those mechanisms. So there's a certain trade-off, if you so want, for example, between the efficiency of global governance and also the equity. And all those dimensions of legitimacy entail normative judgments, and I think this is so very difficult to achieve global governance mechanisms that are legitimate to a sufficiently wide audience. And now I think, that's it.
Thank you.